Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Football Talk Now, part of the JC Hawk Sports Network, with your co-hosts Coach Ormond and DJ Kaleb.
Football Talk Now. Tonight on the show is the 2021 WFA Division II National Champions, the Nevada Storm, with head coach Chris Garza, who is the 2021 Coach of the Year, and Sarah Colangelo, who is the 2021 Division II National Championship Game MVP. The Nevada Storm are back-to-back national champions, first winning Division III in 2019 and Division II in 2021. Also joining us on the show is Don Harold of On Card Autos Trading Cards. I am BJ, and with me is Coach Ormond. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, BJ. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So we have Coach Garza and Sarah coming on about 10 minutes after the hour. So last week you were talking about your nickname, Cheesy, and I thought we had a little bit of time to talk about that, how you got your nickname.
Uh-huh. Okay, so long story short, my play sister, well, my name was Maria. So they were like, okay, let's make up a name. So they were calling me Sanchez. I'm like, okay. So her other sister's brother said, oh, nah, that's too long. We're going to call you Cheesy. So that's how that materialized. And it went from Sanchez to Cheesy. And it's stuck ever since. So between the two,
and now they call
you Sanchez, they're making me. Yeah, just Cheesy.
You know, now they call you Coach Cheesy or Coach Ormond.
Coach Cheesy. Yeah, exactly. So it's just easy because the ladies on the team have known me as Cheesy, and when I finally hung the cleats up, I just, you know, threw the coach in front of it without having to do too many changes. Yeah, so
I was
that's
kind
how
of looking at your guys' website.
That's
and that's how you
I'm
got
sorry?
Your name, huh? I was looking at your guys' website, and I didn't realize that you were co-owner of the Carolina Phoenix.
Yes, yep. I have been co-owner since 2016. Well, I take that back. When we first started in 2005, and we finally had a game in 2006. We had a group of us who decided to take ownership. And then it materialized from there. Two people came on board, and they took over the business side and the football side. And then it transferred to another couple who were involved with the organization. And when that couple decided that they didn't want to do it anymore, I said, well, I'll take it for a minute, and a minute has turned into, what, 6 years? So, yes.
Well, I saw that your founder is still involved, the person who founded the Carolina Phoenix.
I'm one of the original founders. So,
oh, you're one of the original founders. Okay.
Yeah. Myself, Coach Hootie Carr, who is still with the organization, we call her Grandma, Marilyn Williams, who is our inspirational and backbone of the organization, is an original member. And the other co-owner, Carla Hauser, is an original member as well. So the last of the Mohicans, the four of us. That's it.
Wow.
Yep.
Now,
yep,
do you still talk to Coach Holmes at all?
Oh, my gosh. Coach Holmes, Coach Dada. Every now and again, I'll pick his brain. I'll hit him up. I'll congratulate him. He'll congratulate me. And we'll go through the highs and lows together. So with him being on the West Coast over there where you are, you know, I'm hoping to see, you know, I hope to see his team get further in the playoffs and hopefully actually maybe get in a championship game. I'm hoping that for him because those ladies out there, if they listen to what he has to say, because he told us the same thing when he was with us. He said, if you listen to me and you get on board, I guarantee you a winning season and not too long after that a championship. And he fulfilled both of those. So, ladies out there, listen to Coach Holmes.
Now, who is he coaching
Coach
for right
Donna,
now?
I'm sorry?
Who is he coaching
Who's
for
coaching
right now? Because I know he was doing the – who is he doing?
He is he's with the L.A. Legends.
Okay.
L.A. Legends now. Yeah, because he was with the Bobcats. And then they reorganized, and now they're the L.A. Legends.
Okay, because I remember when he was the California Quake, and then he moved on, and I wasn't sure where he was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
we have a few minutes left. So October 8th is the WFA National Tryout Day. So what are you guys going to do for it?
We out here hitting the pavement, promoting. We're getting a lot of good hits. We had with our season that we had last year, a lot of people have shown interest. We're going to do the traditional 40-yard dash, the 5-10-5 drill, the L drill, and then we'll go into seeing who wants to play what position and go through some skills and see how they are, and we'll make an adjustment and see which, you know, ladies fit what we want, and then we'll go from there. We encourage, you know, everybody to go out to your local WFA team. If you have any, you know, if you want to play, go to the WFA website, look on the big United States map they have, check out a team close to you, hit them up, and you never know.
So how many players do you have right now?
We're looking at a roster of 32 right now. We want to expand to at least, we want to get about 15 more, because unfortunately, with playing women's sports, and you know this, BJ, with having a team, you can have 50 on a roster. By the end of the season, you might have 25 for various reasons, injuries, family, deployment, whatever the case may be. So you always want to have a large roster to be able to finish the season. That was one of our downfalls this past season, no excuses. But when we started losing our offensive linemen, having to play both ways, it's not a good recipe for a successful game. So we're looking to beef up with some big beauties with quick feet. So
and then now how many coaches do you have?
Right now we are 4 coaches deep. I'm wanting to expand our coaching staff we've always had a small coaching staff. One year we had a coaching staff of 8. And it kind of gets to the point of where the camaraderie kind of frays a little bit. But I like to have at least 6, so I'm looking for a couple of more position coaches to come in so that we can all be in the positions that we're supposed to be.
Well, it looks like we have 2775 area codes, so let me unmute them. It looks like Sarah and Coach Garza.
Okay.
Hello, Sarah, Coach Garza.
Hi, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you for being on the show. Thank you. So first off, congratulate you both, Coach, for you being the 2021 Coach of the Year and Sarah for being the 2021 Division II National Championship Game MVP. So how does that make you both feel?
I think it's great. You know, we've put in a lot of work in the past couple of years, and it's really great that, you know, our efforts have really been shown and have been recognized. And so it was really awesome, and it was really a shock for me. So I'm really, really grateful to have had that opportunity.
You know,
what about you, Coach?
Getting the accolade of Coach of the Year, that was something that was very unexpected. You know, we're just trying to work our hardest here in Reno and do our best that we can. To see Sarah win the player of the game there in her championship, as much as she doesn't take credit for it, she really worked very hard that game, and she definitely earned that one for sure.
I saw that she played both offense and defense the whole game, scored a touchdown, scored the two-point conversion. I mean, I don't know how you did it, Sarah. I mean, I would have been exhausted.
Totally. You know, I just really have a love for this game, and I just really like to push myself. And so, you know, leave it all out on the field.
Now, for the voting process, for the Coach of the Year, Coach, how does that work? I mean, I know that you guys were number one in total yards, number one in total points. I mean, your stats were right up there. How does that work?
You know, there was a couple of other things that were in the background that just weren't statted out. I mean, at that time, I think we were at, 17-1. As a head coach taking over Nevada Storm. We had a precipice time, and when I took charge of the team and we decided to go a totally different way, and it worked for us. I think that, you know, winning Coach of the Year, that Coach of the Year award, was not just from what we produced on the field, but it was the turnaround that we did in our program. Since taking the head coaching job, we've had nothing but winning seasons, and I attribute that to the women working really hard and just having goals set in front of them and them reaching them. So I've always been dumbfounded that I actually was given this award when all it was our team just meeting their team goals and just accomplishing the things that I knew they could do.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back just a little bit. How did you both get involved in women's tackle football?
You go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I actually did not grow up playing sports. I grew up dancing, and I knew Coach Garza and I knew Coach Barrett from my high school, and they both encouraged me to come and try out for the team. And, you know, again, not coming from sports, I was like, no, you're crazy. I'm not going to do that. But I finally decided that I wanted to come and try out, and I really fell in love with it from there. So,
what about you, Coach?
I was introduced to the team through a coworker, and they just said, hey, this team really needs a good coach. They need good coaches. And I came in as an offensive coordinator with a new system, my first year coaching with Nevada Storm. Most people that know me, I'm actually a defensive coordinator. I'm more of a defensive guy. And so for me coming in and doing something different, I just saw all the pieces were there to make a great team, but we just needed somebody to step in and do something about it. So it was actually a coworker that introduced me to Nevada Storm, and from there I was hooked, and you can't pull me away.
What year was that you started?
Oh, what year is it now? 2021. That would have been 2016.
Oh, 2016. What about you, Sarah? How long have you been on the team?
My rookie season was 2018.
2018. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, both of you, you're back-to-back national champions. During the off season of 2020, how did you guys accomplish that since there was no season? I mean, what did you practice during that time, or?
We actually didn't. We had a couple of workouts, and then we were given the 2020 rules and what we could and couldn't do. And so it was a very hard decision, but the board got together and decided to cancel the season. And from there, I think we just all took time off. But in the back of our minds, we were thinking, you know, we still want to be that championship team. And I get hats off to the ladies on our team. They just took it upon themselves to really just keep working out, keep working together, stay together, and start communicating. And 2020 had their challenges of communication, but our team really figured it out, and they were determined that they wanted to come back and win, and so they did everything they had to do to make sure that happened.
So during your – did you guys start early then? Did you just come back a little bit early for the – you know, practices and stuff like that, the drills?
You know, as far as our, we're probably one of the most unique teams you'll ever meet. when the season's over, we all scatter, and we give so much time and effort to this team. We all love this team, and we want to succeed, and we love each other. So we work really hard. So when it's time to like play and it's time for no football, our team actually like breaks apart and goes and does their own individual thing. That year that was a little different because we all kept in contact and we just decided, you know what, we're all working out. Let's just make sure that once we meet back up in 2021, we hit it hard and we start working out hard and do what we need to do to get in the championship. And I think the women of our team did a great job of just coming back together and melding with one another in their off seasons. And more than anything, we missed each other because of that time apart, you know, that we didn't have a football year. We're used to sharing hotel rooms with our friends. We're used to hanging out with our friends more often. And so for that year to happen, when 2021 came around, we were ready to just absorb everything and just be around one another and work together. I really think that the ladies have this non-communication or nonverbal communication that's so strong with one another that they, you know, once we got back in that gym, we all looked at one another and said, okay, we're going to do this. And that was our goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a chance to watch your 2021 national championship game. And you guys really adjusted really well against their offense and even their trickery. What can you attribute that to?
I would have to say our ladies. Their football IQ is great. We've been working year after year to make sure that they understand the game a little bit better than other teams. You know, when we make adjustments, our ladies are just amazing when we say, hey, we need you to do this, and they trust us enough to actually just do what we ask them to do on that football field. No questions asked. And they make the adjustments, and more so than anything is that we're all on the same page of we want to win that ball game. And so if a coach asks you to make an adjustment, just know that it's for a good reason. And our team has really picked that up and ran with it.
He did. I was very impressed. I mean, even that one play, that first play of the game where she just flicks the ball over to the quarterback and she just starts walking and then starts to run. I'm like, oh, my God, what is she doing? I mean, you guys were on cue on that one. You got her. You know, you got her down. What do you think one of the biggest challenges of the game was?
Well, what do you think, Sarah?
Thinking back to the game, I really think that they were a very competitive team, and they worked very much like we did, where, you know, they never stopped, they never quit, they never gave up. I really do think that it was a battle, that game, you know. Their team, they were very strong. They're pretty disciplined. So I think just the team in general was just really good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what about you, Coach?
This is okay. Hey, Coach.
Okay,
Go ahead. No problem. It's okay. It's okay. I didn't want to step on toes. When you said you came in with a different philosophy, a different way of wanting to do things. Although you say you were on the defensive side of the ball, you implemented a scheme on the offensive side that I must say is a thing of beauty to watch. Now, was that because of the personnel you had, or did you come in saying that the personnel that I have can adapt to this, or was it out of necessity?
I think it was a little bit of both. You know, Coach Adam Barrett is my best friend. We went to college together. We've been talking football since our 20s, you know. So mm-hmm. when we thought about it and said, hey, if we ever wanted to do a team and we wanted to make a statement, this is what we want to do. And mm-hmm. We rolled with it because the people that we had, the women in Nevada here in our area are just, mm-hmm. they are absolutely tough. They are strong-minded. They're very independent. And so for coaches like Coach Adam and I, we were very fortunate to have that type of woman playing for us on a football team. And so we decided, hey, this might be the time to actually pull this offense out of our playbook And mm-hmm. let's see how far we can take it, because these ladies are tough, and they have that tough mentality, and we just want to show who we are at this point. And of course, I think that just having the right people in the spots made a mm-hmm. lot of difference. You know, when you have Sarah out at wing, she's going to outplay a lot of the linebackers. But you look into our offensive line, where we have undersized linemen going against bigger defensive linemen. So we had to figure out something to, you know, scheme-wise to help that out as well. But I think it was a perfect meld of we have the toughness in the ladies that we've got, and mm-hmm. I think we could pull this off with the people that we have. Let's try this. And for us, it just worked, and we never looked back from that.
With that type of offense, you have to have everybody on the same page. It's a us against them mentality, and most – offensive schemes, you have one or two that will shine. How did the ladies take the change, first of all, and secondly, once they bought in, were they all one, or were there still some grumblings? Because having been in that offense myself, coming from a pro set, and my role changed, was everybody on board, and once they got it going, did everybody just say, okay, I'm in?
I think so. I think once everybody mm-hmm. saw it, you know, we explained it, we did it, we repped it in practice, preseason practice. Mm-hmm. And then once we started playing a real team, I think the light bulbs went off and said, okay, we can do this. And I know that we've got the right people. And, you know, that first year that we implemented it, it was one of the give and takes, and it was kind of in the background. It's an old offense that not a lot of people know how to defend. So we figured it might be something that we could use to our advantage. And now we're at that point where, you know, like you said, there are a couple people that we would love to highlight. So mm-hmm. I think we're at that point in our offense where we can do just a little bit of everything else and still be successful. But, you know, we say that us coaches say those things now, but we won't be able to tell until the season starts, but we plan on just keeping that same mentality of keeping our toughness, using the amazing ladies that we've got to our advantage, and just working the best offense that we can be. And more than anything is coming down to just being us and being comfortable with us and being that identifying team that, you know, this is Reno, Nevada. This is what you're going to get every mm-hmm. game if you play them.
Right. Hi, Sarah. Hi. May I call you Sarah?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. How are you doing? So coming in 2018, not having, you said, played any type of sport per se. I'm sure you mm-hmm. played in the backyard with the kids in the neighborhood. What made you gravitate towards playing football? I'm a dance person too. I'm gonna put that out there in the world. I came from a ballet and all that other stuff, but I played mm-hmm. sports in school. I know you said somebody said try it. Once you got there, did you say, "Wow, I've been missing this," or "Wow"? What was your feeling when you got there and you went through the paces and you at the end of that first day?
Oh man! Well, at first I was incredibly overwhelmed. I really didn't have a lot of the knowledge that other girls had. You know, I didn't even know the difference between offense and defense. And I went to a high school where we didn't have sports. Sports were not there at all. So that was part of it. Yeah, okay. I hadn't been exposed to any real sports before. But I really enjoyed the challenge of football, and mm-hmm. I really enjoyed learning something new and being able to learn new skills. And so that part was, I think, what really drove me to continue.
Great. Now, this is for you, Sarah, and you, Coach. Going from winning championships in multiple levels and being in D1 this year, what is the major difference that you saw from your previous 2 years moving to D1?
I would have to say that, you know, the value of play, or you would see, instead of having, you know, the D2s and D3 teams, they'll have one or two good players a team. Whereas in the WFA Pro, you've got, you know, three to four great players on each side of the football that you're either going against or that you've got on your side. So I think the level of play is stepped up, and that was the biggest difference that we realized this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely agree and say that the level of talent and commitment and all of those things has definitely increased moving up to Division Pro, playing these teams that are at the pro level. You just have all of these athletes and just incredible players that you're going up against. And so that, I think, was a pretty big difference that we saw, the discipline and the determination in these teams, for sure.
Yes. And I must apologize to anybody out there listening in the world. I'm an old head. It's going to take me a minute to get used to saying WFA Pro. So I wasn't trying to demean anybody. So I apologize.
Oh, no, not at all.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was going to ask her, also talked about the 2022 season when you moved up to the pro division. What were the challenges that you faced during the season? Did you cover that?
Go ahead.
I would say from a player's perspective, again, just kind of the level of athleticism and discipline that these teams brought was a pretty big change for us. I also felt that these teams were very, like us, you know, determined and dedicated, that they did their homework, they did their research. We had to, I feel like, adjust and scheme more this year than in years past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges as far as the coaching staff went was coaching staff, you know, getting more into the board side. The biggest things for us, the biggest challenge for us was logistics, getting the women there, making sure that they were focused when they were there. You know, after these big trips, it just takes a lot out of you. And then these ladies have to be at practice, you know, on Tuesday, you know, after a game. So there was a lot of short weeks for us. So I think one of the things that really got, that stood out to me was that being mentally tough and being mentally ready to play football and get on to the next week and focus on the next opponent, you know, week after week. Couple that with the athleticism that you're going up against, you know, it could be a really tough ask for a lot of football players and coaches. But I think that was one of the biggest challenges for us, is just the logistics of everything and making sure we had enough time to get into our opponent for the next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at the scores, and I was going to ask you what your toughest opponent was and why you felt that in 2022 in the regular season.
I would have to say, for me, yeah, it's a tough one because they were all pretty – we had a pretty good schedule this week this past year. For me, I think the toughest in season would have to have been Minnesota. Those ladies have a great organization. They've been in the playoffs year after year, and for a reason. You know, they're a really good, well-coached football team. I think that, you know, both the games that we played for them or played against them had something to do with being home field advantaged. And so for us, I think it was more of a I'd have to say the Minnesota team, and the reason for it was being because they, in order to beat them, not only did you have to out physically play them on the field, you also had to out coach them from the sidelines as well. So that was one of the games that we thought that was probably one of the harder games that we had to go through this year, both home and away.
What about you, Sarah?
Yeah.
I
would probably agree and say that the Minnesota game was pretty tough. It was really challenging. You know, we were down so many points, and then towards the end, we just had this great come up. But like you said, we had to physically outplay them and, you know, had to outcoach the other team. And it was definitely, especially being so early on in the season, it was definitely a tough game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought you were going to say Cali War, because didn't you have that game, that 54-52 game this year or last year?
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah,
I wish I would have been able to see that game.
they're a great team. Now, Cali War is a great team. I no disrespect to that organization. It's just there were a couple things in our corner that we weren't prepared for, and it just falls back on the coaching staff there more than anything. So I wouldn't put that down to the ladies. I wouldn't say that loss was because of our ladies. That was definitely a coaching staff failure there, and that was definitely on us.
So for 2023, what are you guys going to focus on?
I think we're going to focus on getting back to being ourselves, you know, being that really tough team that is determined to win a championship. We know what we have to do. We have the expectations. We have the right puzzle pieces. We just need to make sure that we're all on the same page this year and get it done more than anything. I think the continuity this year is going to be more of a focus factor on us and just getting back to the roots of who we are.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have 60 players on your team right now? About 55, 60?
No. Oh, I
no?
wish. No.
You wish. Yeah. How many
no,
do you have right now?
So we initially started with a roster of 46 this past season. At the end of the year, we suited 34. So
mm-hmm.
We're still trying to build upon that. And we would love to have 50 to 60 players. But with us and the way Nevada Storm works is the best 11 that are out there are going to play every down.
Yes. And then you have your national tryout day on October 8th. What can prospective players expect that day?
Some really good drills, some more so of live situations. We'll actually create situations, scenarios, and make them into workouts instead of, you know, because everybody does the 40-yard dash. Everybody does the 10-5-10, you know. We still will do those baseline exercises, but we really want to get them into focused on this is how you throw a block. If there's two people here and somebody throws a block on the outside, read the butt, run right behind the butt, you know, those kind of things. And so that way the person that mm-hmm. comes in and tries out for a team, she'll know whether or not right away, is this sport for me or is it not? So, but spoiler alert. About 98% of them stay and come onto the team because they absolutely love our team. Our ladies on our team are amazing. They're very welcoming, and our board just makes it so easy to coach for. We're just really excited about October 8th and what we can show our community and really gaining more numbers more than anything.
Mm-hmm. So how would they get a hold of you if they want to try out?
For the tryout, they can reach us by Facebook, Instagram at Nevada Storm Women's Football. They can go online to NevadaStormWomen'sFootball.com. But really, if you're seeing a post, if you comment on anybody's post, 9 times out of 10, our player is posted that post, and they're going to hit you up and say, "Hey, you're coming. All right, great. What's your name? We're going to make sure you're there." So, yeah, our ladies do a great job of recruiting. It's been a blessing coaching this team.
Yes. So is there anything you'd like to cover that we may have missed that you want to acknowledge to the team or anybody out there that you want to talk about the team?
You know, we have a great amount of players coming back next year. I think that one of the biggest things that our ladies were wanting to do was just to to put out there that we are the real deal and we do belong in the mm-hmm. WFA Pro. I think our ladies really worked hard last year to show that. But, you know, we've heard from other teams that they're just going to come and go, and I think it's one of those things where it's time to put the gloves down with one another personally, and just we need to come together as a pro division and really grow this sport for the women that are in it. We need to put all of our differences aside and just really put the focus on the ladies that do these amazing plays day in and day out and make sure that they are taken care of first. You know, that's the only thing I would have to put in about that.
So about you, Sarah, do you have any extra comments you'd like to add?
I'm just really looking forward to this upcoming season. I know a bunch of us are putting in work in this off season, and I'm super excited to see where we are at once January comes around. And I'm just really looking forward to getting back out there and being with the team.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your evening to talk about the Nevada Storm and your accomplishments and what's ahead for 2023. We're excited for your season.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you
so much. I can't wait to see y'all.
Yeah, thank you. We're excited, too.
What were you saying, Coach Omaz?
We're
really excited for this upcoming season. I think everybody's going to be a little surprised this year.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and I have all your websites on our page, and then we'll be following you for the season. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Have a good night now.
You as well.
Okay, that was Coach Chris Garza of the Nevada Storm and Sarah Colangelo. Both were, Coach Garza was the 2021 D Coach of the Year, and Sarah was the 2021 D2 National Championship Game MVP. You can follow their NevadaStormFootball.com or go to their Twitter, Nevada Storm Reno, or Instagram, Nevada Storm Women's Football. Facebook, Nevada Storm Football, but I have all this posted on the website as the show notes. Okay, it looks like we have Don on the line, and he is with OnCard Autos Trading Company. Hi, Don, are you there?
I am here.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Well, thanks for asking me. It's always a pleasure to talk to anybody about these cards, and it's an honor to be on your show.
And we have Coach Orman on the line as well. She'll be joining us and asking you questions.
Okay, yep. Cool.
So how did you get involved in making the trading cards?
Well, that's a great question. My youngest son, was born with a chondroplastic dwarfism. He's about 4 foot. Well, he says 4'6". I'll say 4'3" or 4'4". But he's an incredible athlete. He's an amazing athlete. And as a basketball player, when he was in high school, he could play with anybody any size. And I always wanted to find some athletes that were also short statured that had trading cards when he was younger to show him some of the folks out there that were short like him that could play and not to ever think about his size as being an impediment to anything because he's very good. And I didn't find any little people that were basketball players except for there's one person I found. His name is Manny Love. He now plays for the Harlem Globetrotters, by the way. And he's also got a chondroplastic dwarfism. And I contacted him and asked if I could create a trading card for him because I couldn't find any trading cards with any little people that were basketball players. And he and I talked, and he wanted a lot of money to do a card for him, and I didn't want to spend the money to do it, but I thought, there's got to be other athletes out there who deserve trading cards who don't have trading cards, and I saw something about women's tackle football and kind of rubbed my eyes, and I thought, is this a thing? You know, this was back in 2015. I'd never heard of it. And I looked into it and realized that there was not, you know, any trading cards for the women's game. And I talked to Lisa King at length early on in 2015, and she put me in contact, as it happens, with some just mega stars. I mean, I got to work with Katie Sowers, for example, and, you know, that was an awesome honor. I knew it then, it was an honor. And, you know, Allison Hamlin, we did a card with her back in 2015. And just the list of players we worked with early on was pretty big. But I got started because I wanted to do something for my son, and it's turned into something that I wanted to do for the women in the sport. And it's been now, I guess, this is the eighth year that I've actually worked on cards.
Okay, so you basically, how do you go about getting the player then? You went through Lisa King, but how do you go about getting the player themselves?
You know, that's another really good question. I'm just the kind of guy that I just pick up the phone, I'll email, I'll go to the web, Facebook, whatever it takes, and try to go through the normal channels. And it's not easy. I mean, we could talk about why I think it's not easy, but it really is not as easy as you'd want it to be to get with some of the players, some of the coaches, the owners, et cetera. And when I do get through to folks, it's always a positive experience, I have found. But it's hard to kind of connect with players. And because the sport is, as you know, it's disjointed. There's different leagues, different teams, obviously. But there's the ownership styles, all of this is all over the board. So to contact people in a standard way, I can't tell you a standard way to do it. And even when you do sometimes you know, you'll find a player who wants representation, but the owner or the coach might drag their feet. Or you might find an owner that wants to do it but can't get the players on board. So it really is a little bit more difficult than I wish it was.
Mm-hmm. So are the players paid for their signatures?
Well, you're asking the third good question in a row. Initially, when I started, I had no idea what business model to use because although I like doing it, it's not something I can do for free. I wish I could, but I can't. Mm-hmm. So early on, I went with a model where we'd create the cards and then the players could buy the cards directly through me. Now, this is probably a personality flaw that I've got, and I'm not a ruthless businessman, so I always felt bad about that. I never liked players having to pay for anything, and so I'm always trying to devise ways for players not to have to buy these cards to give to fans. And this was the first year I decided to pay players, and the first player that we paid was Tory Tucker Tagovailoa with the Denver Bandits, another great, you know, just sort of stumbled across working with her, and then Jocelyn Morrison with the Carolina Phoenix. And in both of those cases, although everything I've said probably seems kind of rosy, the problem remains with the lack of infrastructure in the sport to promote either the women individually or the teams generally. And I just think that, you know, I don't want to be negative about the sport, but a lot of the hurdles that I was told would exist in the sport still exist now. So I'd like to pay the players outright. And I do pay men in the men's game outright. In fact, I'm working with some college players now that you would know. And I mean, you could go to the website and see who we're working with. But those the men's cards, they're paid up front and they sell, and it's just a whole different thing. So for me, it's still a hobby. I'd like to do more with it, but there's just a ways to go, I think, in the women's sport for the teams and the owners and the leagues to get together to promote this stuff. I want to say that there are women in the sport who I'm really kind of upset that aren't household names. And I mentioned Allison Hamlin a moment ago. I mean, it's one of those deals where you think, well, surely there's a way for the sport to promote individual women the way that the men's game does. And I don't think that the women's game is the same as the men's game, but I think that the way that the men are promoted definitely on an individual basis is what I'm trying to do with the women. I'm trying to do the same thing with these cards.
So how do you determine how many cards you make? I noticed that you have different type of print runs. You have one of five, maybe one of 15,
yeah,
one of 30.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way, and if there's anybody out there that's a fan of the women's game, I know where you can find thousands of women's cards that need a home, because in 2015, I just picked a number and went with 500. So I would just make 500 cards for each of the women and 100 of the autograph cards, and that's where I started. But what I found, of course, is that the number of fans is at a level where 500 cards per player is really asking a lot. So I've brought it down to level, because what I want to do is I want to have sellouts of these cards, and I want to give the players something really nice. I mean, I don't know if you have any of our cards, but I want them to be really nice for the women. I want them to have something nice. And the number of cards we make, that will grow over time. So now I might do a print run of 40 or 50 cards, whereas, you know, 8 years ago it would have been 500. And it was a mistake to do 500. I think 25 to 50 per player right now is a good way to start. Just like the women's game, I think that the future is where the future is bright for the trading card industry with women's tackle football, like it's been for women's tennis and women's golf and gymnastics and all the other sports. It's just in the infancy right now, so the print runs are not large.
Mm-hmm. So who do you have now? Now, I noticed you had this Jocelyn and Tori. I bought, of
right
course,
now that's
I bought
it.
Katie Sowers, Liz Sowers. You only have a few right now listed, but you have a lot of cards, you said?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got cards from every year back to 2015. The Hamlin cards are I think I have like two or three or four of those left. But, I mean, there's a number of players, key players from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, but I really have tried to come up with a different business model going forward in 2022. And I've contacted the leagues. I've contacted owners. I even, you know, posted publicly, and you may have seen this, where I was offering $100 just to talk to Allison Cahill. I would have paid, and if anyone's listening and can get a hold of Allison Cahill, I was going to pay her $500 to sign some cards. And I went to the team, I went to Facebook, I went to, you know, email and everywhere I could, and got stonewalled. And it's been like that with the Boston team for a while. So legitimately, this year has been difficult. I'd like to work with more players, but it's not as easy as you might think.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see some of your posts that you did post, because you do post on a few of the websites, and you don't just offer autograph cards. I think I saw somebody say that they wanted to purchase cards, just print cards. Is that correct? Do you do that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've got some that aren't autographed. And if anyone, you know, wonders, is this a money-making venture, let me make something very clear. I could sell out of every Jocelyn Morrison card and every Tori Tucker card for this year, and I could do that 10 times over, and I'm still not making any money. It's been 8 years of spending money to try to promote the women in the league. And if someone wanted any of those cards that I've got, I mean, I'll sell them super, super cheap. In fact, if someone wanted to buy all of them, if they would distribute them in some way that I'm not able to figure out how to do, I'd be happy to help them out with that.
Now, you mentioned that you have discount codes on your newsletter, because I was looking at that, because I had purchased some cards. I love the cards, by the way. I love them.
Thank you.
I actually posted some of them on the notes page. If you go open the show notes, you can see I posted some of the ones that I've already purchased. I got the Allison Hamlin, the Katie Sowers, the Liz Sowers, the Jennifer Gray, Jocelyn Morrison.
Isn't it amazing, if you look back, that I was able to connect with those players? Think about that. I mean, those players are, I mean, that's who you'd want to connect with back then. And I was very fortunate to work. Allison Hamlin, I cannot say enough about working with her. She was a wonderful, she is a wonderful friend and a great person and ambassador for the sport. And those were great cards. And the, but, of course, if you have those cards, then you see the evolution from those cards to the Torrey Tucker card. And you do have the Torrey Tucker card. Do you have the Jocelyn Morrison card?
Yes. I just bought that one.
Okay.
I just bought those two.
So you can see the difference in the quality of the cards. I mean, you can see it's a different product now than it was. We've really upgraded that. The discount codes are, I'm trying to give people a chance to, if you'll join the list, I'm doing, you know, anything I can to get people to where I can notify them when these cards are available. And then I'll give incredibly deep discounts just to join the mailing list. And, of course, I mentioned earlier about the fact that I want to pay the women. Well, that's still on the table. I want to be very clear. I would love to be able to pay these women. There's no doubt about that at all. And, you know, I'd love to cut the same checks for the women I cut for the men, and I'm cutting some big checks for the men. So, and that's, by the way, with the men, they get paid in advance because I know that those cards are going to sell. I can't do that yet with the women. But, you see, I'm going to keep it real. I could do that if the leagues or the teams would get behind it. If the league would say, hey, listen, you know, here's a company that's doing these cards. If they simply promoted the cards as just as a normal thing like baseball and basketball and football leagues do for men, it would be an absolute no-brainer. Because fans want these. Every fan that gets these cards loves them. And once a fan gets one player, they want whatever. You cannot believe the number of fans that email me who say, hey, listen, I'd like one of everything you've got. Now, statistically, it's still a small number, but the fans love these cards when they get them. They're hungry for it. They're hungry for the women to get this representation.
Mm-hmm. I keep looking at your website for anybody new.
Well, I'd like to work with some new women. I'm kind of, to be honest with you, I'm not a marketing guy. It's hard for me to know. Is it because I'm a terrible person? Am I old and ugly? Have I, you know, said or done something along the way that has made me persona non grata? I don't know. But it's definitely a club that seems to be hard to get to, and that's why I offered to pay Allison Cahill up front. You know,
I would love to get
the
Allison Cahill
work
card.
I would love to get one of her cards. And I want to be clear about this. I'm not banging on the Renegades, but I literally was going to spend $500 to Allison Cahill to sign 100 cards. Now, go online and look. Anyone listening to me, go online and look what card companies pay players, like in, you know, baseball, basketball, to sign cards. And, you know, if you're, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 a card, that's very fair. But I could not get anyone from Boston to simply answer an email. It's just the darndest thing. So, again, it could be. Now, I've got two kids. One's 20 and one's 22. And I've been told I'm stupid, crazy, dumb, and old and don't know anything at some point as a father. Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. I would love to work with as many women as I can. But we got to work together as a team. I don't know who it was that was talking before I came on that talked about the sport unifying. That was a coach for Nevada. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing about that. It's a delicate topic. I heard him walk very delicately through it. But, you know, the women are all fighting over a very small number of crumbs. If they would all come together in one league and get rid of this notion that you need 2, 3, 4 leagues, the strength of that one league would radically overshadow whatever they think they're doing with their many different leagues. And I know by saying that, you know, there'll be owners and, no, how could he say that? You know, I'm with Odessa. I'm with Lisa. I get it. I hear it. I really do. And you're all spinning your wheels. No, but that's not true. We have deals with all the, yeah, okay, but that's what's been said for 20 or 30 years. I agree with that former coach, I mean, the coach that you just had on your show. Unify. Put down whatever differences you got and get your best product out there in a unified front. That's what's going to win people over. That's my opinion. I know you didn't ask for it, but that's my opinion.
Coach, do you have any questions you'd like to ask Don?
Yeah, how you doing this evening, Don?
I'm doing very good.
Good, good, good. I'm going to poke my chest out a little bit and saying that thank you for putting Jocelyn Morrison on one of your trading cards. She is one of my players, and we are trying to get that out there to the people as we speak. So thank you for that.
She's been, by the way, the model of who I'd like to work with. I mean, she has been respectful and decent and kind and generous with her time. And anything I asked, she gave when I asked her questions, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's been very honored to have these cards. And so I would just say as a model of a player, as a person, she's been fantastic.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful to hear. What do you look for since you are diving into the realm of women's tackle football? What are you looking for as far as, because I know you said you modeled it for cards for your son and you moved up and then you started working with athletes. So what are you looking for when you want to present a woman on your card playing tackle football?
Boy, man, y'all are asking, you know, you've asked the greatest questions, both of you. I really appreciate these questions. Okay, so first of all, one thing that the men have done, and which I have to say this, not because I say it, I read and hear other women say, well, we should be just treated just the same way the men are. That's the only reason I make that comparison. But if you make that comparison, the men, every single human in America knows the face of Patrick Mahomes. They know the face of Tom Brady. They know the face of some scrub players. They know the face of some lunatic, crazy, fringe, nutball players. And they also know the face of some guys that are good Christian boys. You know, you go across the spectrum. The NFL has done a great job of marketing the personalities and the faces of these players. I think that, number one, the women should embrace that same sort of deal. And I've heard over and over that, you know, it's not about, you know, what we look like. We're not objects and all that. I just tell you, getting to know the women as by face, every major sport does it, but women's tackle football. And to Odessa Jenkins' credit, when she was, I guess this was probably 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know if she still does this, but she would do that calendar every year. And again, I don't know if she still does it. And I give her great praise for that, you know, really highlighting the women and what they look like. So I would say good, smiling portrait type photos are always good, and then an action photo in uniform, but a positive energy and just get to know the person's face and their personality. If fans can't connect with the face, they're not going to connect with the sport.
Right.
Did that answer your question? I don't know if that was what you were asking, but
yes, it did. Yeah, because I'll be honest, and until she was presented with this opportunity, I was not aware of what you were able to present to the ladies. So sometimes it may just be a communication gap where we just don't know. Or it could be, like you said, you've had, little interference with working with some teams. So I believe you have a great product to present to the ladies. It just, sometimes we get kind of skeptical of some things just because of the sport that we are playing. We're already looked at as an oddity or a sideshow because women playing tackle football, you know, unless we're showing ourselves, as you said, we're not taken seriously, but we take this sport seriously. So it's wonderful to have someone like you who wants to advance us and get us out there like the Upper Decks and the Tops and all those other brands which are hard for us. So it's very refreshing to see that. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm gonna. If anyone listening to this has ever talked to me before, there are a number of issues that they might bring up about my personality. I mean, some of them would say, you know, this guy, and then fill in political blank or, you know, gender identity blank or all sorts of, you know, blanks you could fill in that I don't fit. You know, I'm not going to be your prototypical believer in certain ideologies and certain, you know, political things and all that. And I've had, you know, quite a few players who have told me, listen, you know, you can be who you want to be, but you can't be public about who you are or what you believe or don't believe. And I'm not giving you specific beliefs. I'm just saying that there's some players I know have not agreed with what I've felt or said, you know, publicly on Facebook or otherwise. So I'm going to give, you know, some of the credit to my own, you know, my own personality flaws as rubbing people the wrong way sometimes. I'm not saying it's only the women in the sport, but I think that if you're an honest observer of the sport, it's a pretty tight-knit, closed group. It's hard to get in. And I think that anyone watching the sport would tell you it's not easy, and there are definitely trust issues. I get it. I mean, when you looked at it, I think she said it's an oddity, possibly that's the word you used. Sorry about the car going by here. But the thing about being an oddity is you have to remember, you know, I have a wife who's a little person, and I have a son that's a little person. And so for me, women's tackle football is not odd. I walk with a wife every day. We were walking down the road in the last month here in our neighborhood, and three times over the span of a week, a car would drive by and someone would yell out the window, midget, at my wife. So I am acutely aware of the microscope on, you know, the differences that we have. But I think that that's not as much of a difference as you might think. It might look that way on the inside, but highlighting these women definitely will be a bonus, whether it's me or anybody else. And you mentioned upper deck and tops. I know I'm just a placeholder. You know, I know that whatever I do when the sport takes off, I'll be left behind. I get that. But it's a good thing for the women to get involved now, I think, and start getting some representation in cards and learn how to do it. You know, when tops and upper deck finally wake up, I'll never be able to touch their budgets and the ways that they can work with the players. But I can do what I can now. And I guess that's what I would say. I can do what I can now. It's not perfect. It's not the best. Mm-hmm. I'm not the smartest, but I can do what I can now, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Great.
We appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
I mean,
yep, thank you so much.
Yeah, I like the quality. So why don't you share your website, Dan?
Yeah, the website, it used to be a website. You can go to dojimalo.com, which is dojimalo.com, dojimalo.com. That, by the way, it's not an Asian name. People ask me if it's an Asian. No, I'm Don. My wife is Jill. My son is Maverick. And my other son is Logan. So it's Doe, J-I for my wife, M-A for Maverick, and L for Logan.
Okay.
But I really felt like doing something this year that was more expressive of what we do. And in the industry, there's a move for so many cards with stickers for autographs. And there's a term called on-card auto, and so that's what we do. All the autographs are on the card. There's nothing on a sticker. So it's oncardautos.com, oncardautos.com. And you can, if you want to email me, it's oncardautos@mailmail.com, mail.com. And I, by the way,
I'm looking at the website now.
One other thing I want to say about working with which players or how to, you know, decide who to work with. Hey, if you're a coach or you're an owner, let's be honest, you know, you can either make cards for every player on your team or you can get some cards out there now for the stars on your team. It's just like the men's sport. Now, there are many guys who play the game that don't have a card, and if you've got stars on your team, you know, they're all the same. It's quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and then the cornerbacks, things like that. You know, if every team would focus on three or four players, you know, you could put together a set of 300 or 400 cards a year, and that could be packaged as a complete set or in packs, and I think that would be very successful. Actually, it would be groundbreaking if that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at your website right now. It's a little different than your on card autos. Actually, they show more women on this one that you haven't shown on your other website.
Right. That's because those, number one, on my new site, I'm only putting the new players or as I have time to add old players from my inventory, not old players, but older cards. But the goal was to get everything all on one site and unified.
Okay. We'll share that website as well. I'll put that on the show notes.
Yeah, I don't want to leave anybody out. I mean, anybody, look, everybody is welcome. It's like I said, it's a hobby more than a business. I enjoy it, and I know that my time is limited. I know that I'm going to be here for a short time. Once the sport really takes off, you know, my cards will be a novelty. But in the meantime, I'll do what I can. That's my goal, is just to do what I can while I can.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show, Don, and sharing us with about your trading cards and what women can do to reach out to you. And
It's incredible.
We want to thank you.
Super cool that y'all had me on. I've had a lot of great moments with these cards, and I hope that I can continue to go for many, many years in the future. And if anybody wants to find out more, or get in touch, whatever, send me an email or, you know, you can put my phone number on the web, whatever. I'll talk to anybody. I'll help them out if I can.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate
thank
it. Thank
you so
y'all.
You have a great night. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Don Harold of On Card Autos. You can check him out at oncardautos.com, and I also put the DOJIMALO.com on the website so you can view. We want to thank head coach Chris Garza for coming on the show and Sarah Colangio coming on the show. Also Don. I know, they tell me how to say their name, and then I look too much into it.
That's why I let you handle that. I just tell them by their first name.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Yeah. I go to the first name. Colangelo. Yeah. I said it right earlier.
There you go.
Okay. So you have anything you want to add before we say goodnight?
This is going to be my nightly recap. Please, for everyone listening out there, please look into your city, your state, to see if there's a women's tackle football team. Please take a friend. Take your family. Go out and support these women. These women are playing the game they love for nothing. They're going out there with their heart in their sleeve and putting a great show on the field. You will be very, very surprised to see these women going out there and playing the game that you see on Friday night, Saturday, and on Sunday. Top quality games. So please go and support. This is the only way we're going to survive and move to that next level. So please go out and support your local women's tackle football team.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Coach Ormond, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Can't wait. Everybody have a good night.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.